Money Matters is brought to you by Petso Financial Consultants. Their team of certified financial planners have been educating their clients to build confidence and find peace with their money for over 35 years. Also by Michelle Oliver of Finance of America Mortgage, lending products for all the stages of your financial life. By HH & Associates Accounting, we aren't just accountants, we provide solutions. By Mountain West Bank, your community bank, with 8 branches in the Treasure Valley. Now, here's Dave Petso on KIDO Talk Radio.
Good morning, and yes, we are live early today with the recording at the backside. Yes, it is, because I am off to a tea time at 10 o'clock, so I'm going to have to rush out of here to make that, but thank you for our normal reversal today. We'll still have Kevin Miller, and I will be on about 9:30 today. You know, it's interesting with all the volatility people are talking. This is what I hear all the time, right? And it's so I want to talk about volatility and the market and whether you should be in or not and all those things. You know, the answer is, of course, you know, we of course should be in. But I hear it all the time. It's kind of like, oh, the market's just like, man, it's just up and down, back and forth. And like that's some kind of not normal, like we're in a non-normal period. And I've said volatility, corrections are normal. We've said that repeatedly. And I want to talk a little bit more today, though, about that. Because when we come out of a period, like we did, where literally this is quite remarkable when you think about it. It is, I don't know how rare, but it's super rare. Okay, I mean, I don't know if it's ever happened before. I assume it has sometime. But literally, the market has been up every single month, every month, since Donald Trump became president until March. That's a remarkable run of no volatility. It's extraordinarily low. Do we really get that used to it? You know, like, after about 4 months of no volatility, this is what we've come to expect forever and ever. Right? I mean, whatever's right in front of us is going to never change. That's really crazy when you think about it, because volatility is good. Volatility is fantastic. And I'll explain that more in a minute here, but it's certainly what we're in now is not abnormal. It's normal. What we were in before was abnormal, where we had no volatility. Record low. 2017. Certainly in modern history was the lowest volatility ever. On multiple measures, we had the VIX, which, you know, blah, blah, blah. I know it's a good index, it's a bad index, it's whatever. It's a fear index, it's nonsense. It's an inaccurate measurement, okay? But something people like to play around with, and when there's nothing going on, then it's something to talk about. So talking heads blabber about nonsensical things all the time. And the VIX index is one of them. But it hit record lows last year, so it's worth mentioning. The second part, though, is when we think about every year and you look at where the market has a down period, no matter if the market generally is up for the year. If you're up 20% for the year, as an example, which, by the way, is not rare at all. Markets go up 20% a lot, but you're up 20. Sometime during that year, on average, the market went down 14% during the trading. So, for example, you could have gone up. Let's use 2016, because that's the last time until this year, 2 years, which is unusual, that we have a market correction, as defined by 10% or more correction. We had it right out of the chute. in 2016. Day one, bam, we're down. Approximately February 9th, marked the bottom. That was it. And it was down, I think, 11%, 12% at that point. So we're down 11, 12%. Right out of the chute. That would mark that down, even though we know the rest of the year was up, what was it, 12%, something like that for the year. So from that bottom, it went up obviously 20-some percent. Very nice rise. And sometimes you come out and you have a really good, you know, first quarter, say, and you're up 10%, but then you give it up like we did this year. So we pull back from that. So when you have that, you're saying normal volatility is down 14%. Many times we'll have a flash crash and all those other things. But I want to get to this point as well. It's not just normal. But people ask all the time. It's like, wow, it's up and down. And, when you know, I should step aside. This is really something. And no, it's not something. And when we start thinking of it as, wow, this is really abnormal, it causes, I think, undue concern. I'm like, well, I think I should wait till it calms down. Meaning, okay, you mean you should wait till it's significantly higher before you buy. Well, that's not what I said. Well, that's exactly what you said. Because calm down isn't down another 5%, and then we're like, real calm. People don't buy those dips. It's extraordinary. It really is. I don't want to buy into a rising market. Golly gee whiz. You know, you always talk about buying bargain goods. I don't want to buy when it's volatile like that. So you never buy. So it has a tendency to trap you out when you don't just understand volatility as a normal function. And then let's turn it on its head even further. Let's talk about how good it is. How good is volatility? It's why we get so much more. So much more than any other investment. Bottom line, if there wasn't volatility, do you really think that stocks would just magically offer you 5% more in a risk premium, meaning 5% more return in a year, on average, forever, for decades, for longer than your life, since 1926? No, for 200 years. Seriously. It's not this weird thing that you get to have no volatility but great returns. Mm-mm. They come hand in hand. See, owning the great corporations of the world, which is what you do when you own stocks, it's not just a thing. What is a stock? It represents ownership of a business. Pick it. I don't want to own Coca-Cola. I think I want to own Intel. Okay. I want Apple. Okay. I don't want Apple anymore. Okay. You sell it to somebody else. Really? Like that? Like that. That's what stocks are. I can pick and choose. Uh-huh. Or if you don't know much about it, and you probably don't, you can put that money into a general market ETF. You can do the whole thing. You can have a manager pick and choose for you. They call them mutual funds. Huh. So you don't always have to be picking or choosing. You can be completely vacant from the process and get 5% more a year than anything else on the planet. You pay for that with the volatility. That's all. And so when we think of volatility as good, as normal, is the reason why we get 3 to 5% more year after year, decade after decade, lifetime after lifetime. That's magic, is what it is. And you say, oh, it's 3 to 5% more. You know what? 5%, putting a $100 bill in for a brand new baby, turned 65. A $100 bill one time at 5% is $2,384. Yeah, I've been talking about this for 35 years. I don't need notes for this. 10%. Is it twice as much? No. It's exponential. And this is important. Exponential. It's 49,000. Run the numbers. One $100 bill at 10% for 65 years. 49,000. 2,384 at 5%. Is 5% worth a lot more? Yeah. Five more is a lot. One or two is a ton over a lifetime of investing. A ton. It is really important. So we're talking about risk premium. This is why you get rich and you have no management responsibility is volatility. That's all. It also has the added benefit of just relieving pressure from the markets. Instead of every day going straight up, straight up, straight up, straight up, straight up, we can get into bubbles that way. It just relieves the pressure. Oh, we get a little pullback here. Yeah, we got a little carried away with the, you know, FANG stocks or something here. So, bam, knock them down. You can't just go, trees don't grow to the sky, right? They grow a little bit. Pull back a little bit, they grow some more. Yeah. It avoids bubbles. You know, and as an example, before we bring this segment to a close, I want to talk about just the last few years of hyperbolic, the world is ending, doomsday advice popping out everywhere, right? This was really, if you will, this was. There's always been doomsday advice. It's so easy to sell fear. It's lazy thought. It's wrong thought. The pessimists have always been wrong. I suppose, you know, if the ultimate pessimist, you know, well, in the end, we're all dead. Yeah, you're right. That's true. Wow, what a great theory. Helpful as heck. But here's the thing. Until the world ends, it's not my thing to think about it. It's not my thing to worry about it. In fact, we're taught not to. You know, you didn't tune in for a spiritual thing, but you know, I get so much world-ending stuff from people, you know, talking about this stuff that sometimes you just have to address it in a financial way and say, look, you were not supposed to figure this stuff out. So until the world ends, it has always grown. And we always get all the world-ending things wrong. Hitler wasn't Satan. Nope. World didn't end after World War II. During or after. World War I. All of these horrible things that happen, and not just in a spiritual sense, in a practical sense. We just rebuilt and kept growing faster and faster. Pessimists are always wrong. Always. But we listen to them. Think about it this way. We drive by the train wreck, the car accident, and slow down. Turn our heads. Oh, that looks terrible. But we look. We embrace. It's human nature. But we don't live in a cave anymore, and there's things that eat us in the jungle. So our same wiring of caution, watch out over the horizon. There's stuff that'll eat you. Don't go out at night. It's scary. Same feeling, but really what we're talking about now is people scaring you from owning the great corporations of the world so they can sell you high commission products that won't work. And you don't think that's true? Listen a couple hours from now. You're going to get that pitch. World is ending. Don't play in the casino. Got a guarantee. Get market returns with no risk. Right. Sure you do. It's the price you pay is volatility. It's why you get so much more than anything else. So much more that the average person gets rich doing nothing. That's crazy, isn't it? I mean, isn't it crazy? Isn't it crazy? You put a couple of bucks in and you aren't allowed to show up and work. And it just grows and grows and grows and grows. And the price you pay is volatility. That's all. And it grows way faster than anything else. It's nutty how it is. But that's also the simplicity of this beautiful thing. It really is amazing. But you see, all these purveyors of doom and gloom, yeah, of course they want your money. Of course they're bordering on crooks. I know they get across, legally. I got to watch it. I don't want to slander anybody. It's not illegal to just steal old people's money. It's not. Apparently we can mislead and all that stuff, and it's okay as long as they sign the contract. So we have this circumstance where people are getting hammered and put into that. Why? Because we want a guarantee. Because volatility, we misunderstand so much. We can't wrap our mind around it being normal, important, the reason we make so much money, that it relieves pressure. We just can't seem to take our eyes off of anything bad as we drive by the accident. We can't stop. So you think about, as we get in the internet, big in the internet, it's not new the last few years, but it's on steroids, isn't it? I know these things are ancient history. They've only occurred in the last 9 years. But let's talk real briefly. We're going to, oh gosh, are you kidding me? Have I babbled this long? We need to take a break, don't we? All right. I'm not done with this. We're going to talk some more about this on the other side of the break, because you can't even believe until you just stop and think about all the stuff that we've been told is going to bring an end to it just in the last few years. It's astounding. We have to watch our eyeballs. We really do have to watch what we take in. Our number is 580-543-6580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-543-6580-KIDO. We're just giggling here about, I wouldn't have thought Chumlee was a draw. really? Seriously? Wow, I'm going to meet one of the Pawn Star guys. Chumlee? I'm going to meet Chumlee. Wow, okay. Crazy. Anyway, all right, our number is 580-543-6580-KIDO is our number. I'm going to wrap this up, and you know, volatility, I've talked about it a lot. But I don't think we can talk too much until we get this idea that it's good. Not just it's normal, but it's good. Yeah, and it's normal. But we need to jump into these things, and we need to embrace them with the full understanding of, there it is. That's why I get paid so much. That's why I get paid so much right here. And one of the ways I like to think about that is, again, talking about all of the hyperbolic negativity that there has been over the last 9 years, 10 years, since the financial crisis. It's in our face. We can't stop it all the time. But what it now has is it's opened up this whole new inexpensive reach where entire sophisticated websites are designed, like Stansberry Research, to draw you in with a few good name or named people. Yeah, at least they're well known. Maybe they've been always wrong. They've predicted the bear market for, 30 years, the end of the stock market as we know it. Gold going to $5,000 an ounce has been predicted for 30 years. All those things, okay? But people know their names. And it's a brilliant thing because what you do is you throw a little ad out here. You know, here's what Budget Secretary David Stockton said. He was Reagan's budget secretary. So, of course, that makes him a stock market genius. We all know that. A predictor of all things coming in the future financial. He would be a genius at that. Isn't it funny how when you ask the question, it's like, okay, so the budget director at the White House is a soothsayer? How? Right? Isn't it weird? When all the great investors of all time say the same thing. You can't predict the future. We can't do it. Sometimes we ought to just go, you know what? I think Warren Buffett, Peter Lynch, Michael Price, John Templeton are the brightest people, the greatest investors of our time, of all time. And they say, I can't do this. You know what? It's okay to accept that. But you think about all of the hyper sensitivity we have with the internet out and all of these sophisticated new ways to get to you and get you driven to the doomsday website and continue to feed that. I mean, you think about that. H1N1 virus, like that, what was that? Well, it was a big deal back at the beginning of 2009. Okay. What about quantitative easing? Remember, that was going to kill us. And all the websites doubled down each time they renewed and upped the amount of QE and talked about all the gains were phony. They weren't really wrong that the market had doubled and then tripled and then quadrupled. They weren't really wrong. We talk about normal volatility. How about a flash crash? Not really normal, but stuff like that happens. And did. Meredith Whitney predicted the impending doom of municipal bonds, driving many, many retail investors out of municipal bonds, panicking them. I haven't even reached 2011 yet. How about when Europe's sovereign debt crisis continued? Portugal, remember all the pigs nations? Pigs nations part 1, 2, 3, and 4. Four springs in a row, we had to know that this was never going to end well. You remember how Greece, absolutely the linchpin of this, with a GDP about the size of Vermont, was going to take down the entire world. It got so ridiculous that, in fact, Crete, I know, it's a rock in the Mediterranean Ocean. That's Crete. I don't know what their GDP is. I doubt any state in the United States has an equivalent GDP to how small that is. But you see, it just doesn't change. We have Ebola breakout. That's going to be the end. And then North Korea, part 1, 2, 3, 4. The Chinese stock market crashed. Remember how that was going to take everybody down? It's totally okay, isn't it, to just say everything, the world is ending, it's all over, and then you repeat over and over. Hi, we're the Stansberry website, and we believe that the Japanese earthquake will be the end of the world. We're the Stansberry Research, and QE Part 3 tapering will end the world. It will end the world when Russia launches airstrikes in Syria. It will end the world when QE ends, when Brexit happens. It will end the world. As we know it, when the Fed starts raising interest rates 7 times now, at what point do you turn that noise off? Right? That's why it's hard. It's just hard. Why don't we think of volatility as good and normal? Normal, yes. But the higher level is, oh, this is good. This is why. This is why I get paid so much to do nothing. Astounding. All right, we got to take a quick break. Jim, hang on. We're going to grab you on the backside of this. We got to take a break here for Fox News, 580-5436, 580-KIDO, or if you prefer, it's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. Please do give us a call, and let's go right to the phones. Jim, thank you for holding. Go ahead, please.
Morning, Dave. How's it going?
Good morning. Excellent. It's a beautiful day.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to give support to your argument. You know, the term new normal has been thrown around a lot, and that goes into the stock market. Now, the new normal is normal, and, you know, to me, anything less than a 100-point move is nothing. I mean, you got to go not with points, but percentage.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday was extremely, you know, it didn't do anything. And to me, basically, it really doesn't move, or nothing happens unless it's over a couple hundred points.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, that's just the way it is. And, you know, if it doesn't move, I'm wondering if anybody's alive out there.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't. You don't get buying opportunities. I'll give you a quick example. Yesterday, okay, I bought some stock. I'd rather not say the company because I just really. But it was a bank, okay, and right. They announced earnings yesterday, and they were great earnings. You know, one little hickey on it. You know, because there's always a hickey on an earnings report in these vast banks, right? In one area or another, there's loan losses are high or there's not enough mortgage originate, whatever it is, right? Trading losses, something is always coming up. Loan growth, which I'm not saying isn't a more serious problem, but everything else was great. The outlook was great. And the stocks opened up in the morning after the earnings announcements, okay? So you look at that and then you go, huh, that's interesting. Yeah, it looks like they hit the report. And then all of a sudden you look and it's down in the afternoon. And we think volatility is bad, right? Bad volatility. Well, let me tell you why and how it's so good. You look at it and suddenly we have the straight down move and in the banks. And what are banks really sensitive to right now? Interest rates. Because if interest rates rise, banks make more money. So if interest rates fall... And what happened was the Federal Reserve guy, Bullard or whatever his name is, the guy has never seen a microphone. He didn't want to stop and blabber about things. So he found a microphone and blabbered about the fact that he didn't think that they needed to raise rates a lot. So I'm looking at this going across the screen, watching the banks go down on just this. What is that? That's just black box selling. That's the algorithms in all of these ETFs that are just suddenly going sell, 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 sell. Not for any fundamental reason that the banks weren't great, that the earnings announcement wasn't good. And I'm not kidding you, from peak to trough, they're down 4% like that.
Yeah.
So I buy.
Well, you know.
And that to me is where volatility is good. In the same day, after I even got to see a card, that's kind of like I'm playing a poker game here, and they turn another card. Now, this one happens to be a good card and helpful. And then I get to pay less into the pot to play. That's crazy to me. That's
maybe
crazy
those algorithms, you know, who knows? I guess it's a way of things these days. But I've noticed, you know, my experience and my noticing, it seems like 9 times out of 10, you know, you watch a business report or something, and they'll say, so-and-so reported income, and it's ahead of expectations, stock goes down. And you wonder, what the hell? It seems that it does that more than, hey, this is good, it goes up.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It's just part of the way it goes. You know, they get good news and it goes down, but that's the way it is.
It can. And some of this I realize, you know, the banks could have come into the earnings season on fire. They're up 10%, and so they announced a good number. We saw that with Micron. Micron came in, and the stock has, you know, been up 120% in the past 12 months. They come in, and they announce an unbelievably good, even better than they said a month before, earnings announcement, right? It was spectacular, and the stock craters. You know, that happens a lot because leading into the stock runs up. But the banks really didn't do that, and watching them be up and then fall because of computer trading seemed abnormal, meaning volatility is good. Not just normal, it is good. And so you're able to jump in. Hey, it may not work out. I'm not saying that it's up, up, and away from here. What I am saying is that was quite an opportunity to buy. in a company that had just announced great earnings and was up, and then computers drove it down, and now you get it 4% off. That's not bad.
Yeah.
Right? So that's volatility good. And so that is, and that's an example of yesterday, how we can utilize it. And that's not that you need to be trading and things like that. It's just saying that volatility is not just normal. It's good for us. It relieves pressure. It means that, and it is the reason why we get paid so much more than every other investment on the planet.
Well, you know, I mean, it's a simple thing of if for whatever reason people sell, maybe they got, you know, want to take some off the table, so to speak, you know, so they sell, you know, the market goes down. Okay, the money's sitting there, you know, it's not going to disappear. It's got to go someplace. And these people aren't buying gold, so, or hopefully Bitcoin.
Right.
But, you know, so it's, you know, so the next day it comes back in the market.
Right. Right. No, it's a real opportunity for us, Jim. It is. It's there's no question about it. This is a fantastic thing, and it's completely misunderstood. Like, volatility should be avoided.
What gets me is seeing the news, not only do they mention this too much, but they mention the points. You know, which they shouldn't
right.
do. They should do the percentages.
Well, I gave this example last week, but I'm going to give it again because this is so true of the news and really important that we understand this. Because if we don't really understand how negative the news is, how the inputs are always one-sided, we can't defend ourselves against that. It's like sitting around all day long watching pornography and expecting to have a solid relationship. It doesn't work that way, right?
Right.
And so it's the same thing. Oh, I'm above this, or I'm not. I'm really an optimistic guy. But I pound myself with doom and gloom all day. You can't rise above it. So here's what we have to understand. On September 29th, 2008, the Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 777 points. Right in the midst of the financial crisis. And the headlines the next day read, worst day ever for the Dow. Okay? Now, that's true. That was the worst point drop ever. But certainly, it barely made the top 20 in percentage, to your point. It barely made the top 20 days ever. But this is the headline. And by the way, the very next day, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was up almost 500 points. Did the headlines read, Dow has third best day ever? No, it doesn't, because bad news sells. It's always negative all the time.
It'll be interesting, you know, now Trump did his thing with Syria on a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
It will be kind of interesting just for, you know, interest's sake to know how the stock market's going to take it on Monday. And I'm sure it may be down, and then it'll even out.
I don't think it'll have any relevance at all on Monday. It's just a news item. Do I really think Syria has any implication in the world? The answer is no.
You know,
to the financial markets.
You know, it's nice that we're supported by England and France, or Great Britain and France.
The entire NATO came out with a statement this morning that they were supportive of it.
Well, you know what's weird is.
I want to add to that, Jim, because this is an important point. They all not only came out in support, they also said they were tired of waiting on the UN to do something about Assad because they won't. In other words, people are just tired of the UN blabbering and doing zero about evil people in the world, and that it's totally okay, and we need to just take this into our own hands because the United Nations is impotent.
Yeah, and you know, the weird thing, too, with Germany, I mean, the repercussions of Hitler. Now, Merkel has gone just the opposite, you know. She is afraid to do anything. So it would have been nice had Germany supported us, you know.
They did. They did.
They did?
Huge, and came out with a big statement in support of it as well.
But, it was just us, Great Britain and France.
Nope. Germany was on board as well. So, yeah, it's widely positive. So I'm pretty sure Iran is upset, and that upsets me a lot.
Well, Russia is upset.
Russia and Iran are upset, and I'm beside myself. I wish we could somehow get them on board. I you know,
From day one, of course they're not. You know, Russia and Syria have been allies for whatever reason.
That's Russia's toehold into the Middle East again. They were out until Obama got in as president. They were out of the Middle East. They were out. And then Obama let them back in. So they're in. That's their toehold. And they're not going to let go of it.
You know, and people these days just can't deal with somebody with a backbone like Trump has. You know, they just can't fathom it. It's amazing.
Jim, that's a very good point. And I'm actually going to talk a good bit about that. In the second hour, in my monologue in the second hour. So
okay, take care, have fun, don't get hit by lightning on the golf course.
It better not be lightning. It's supposed to just no rain here in about an hour. That's what I'm counting on. All right.
Goody, goody. Take care.
Thanks, Jim. Have a good
Bye-bye.
Day. Bye-bye. And we got to take a quick break and hopefully take your calls at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Remember, volatility is not just normal. It's good. It's good for you. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and again, thanks for joining us. Love to hear from you. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's also Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Been talking about how volatility is good. Not just normal, but good. And yet, we feel like we have to talk about this constantly. About why is the market up or down? Why are we going to put in another bottom? Or what's going on? And this is this constant news flow that we feel has to have a response to everything. And when people just make up answers, and they do often, like the reason that the banks went down on Friday was because we saw massive selling because people had already built in or baked in all of the bank earnings. That's an after response. The question, as I see it, is, are the fundamentals good? Yes. Is the outlook great? Yes. Then you get an opportunity to buy for whatever the reason is, because I disagree with that reason completely. But it doesn't mean my reason's right. You still are left with the fundamental, oh, okay. So the real reason is nonsensical. It doesn't really matter what the reason is if the fundamentals are solid. Now, when you get into a stock like Micron, which is all over the board and still has chip prices, doesn't pay a dividend, has no basic return of capital unless the stock price goes up, always needing to spend billions of dollars a year in trying to keep up to make microchips that everybody else is trying to make too. And we get an oversupply situation in the world often. And that is a problem. You can't rely on that. And that's why we get differentials with stocks like that, other than banks. You know, you can have people that say banks are too high or whatever, but you're not going to have the kind of disparity where you have some analysts saying, we think Micron's going to go to $100. And there are a couple of them out there. And others are saying it's going back to 30 or lower because of chip prices. You don't get that kind of crazy disparity. So we do have to be very careful with stocks that aren't really representing, if you will, a secular story as much as a cyclical. Now, secular meaning long range. Yes, we're in the Internet of Things. It's a secular story along those lines that we're going to use more and more microchips. That hasn't changed for 30 years. We have been in that secular story for 30 years. What we have to recognize is, in fact, that is a story that hasn't changed, but we see the stock flying all over the place because it is still cyclical. Will they make that shift? Will all of these companies continue to behave well? We'll see, because they are killing it. They're killing it. But a lot of people have tried to top tick this one for a long, long time. So volatility in some sectors, that's part of life. But overall in the market, it's good. And you don't have to play in these wild, weird areas that look like a casino at all. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. I'm Dave Petzo, and this is Money Matters. These are my opinions and my opinions only. And, of course, we're not the station. And we're not here to tell you what to buy, or sell. And anything. We're the antidote to that. We don't. I don't believe in that at all. I think it's nonsense. And it adds to the jabber that is considered to be news, which is nothing more than data thrown out of a fire hose. No context. No accountability. Basically fake news, if you will, right? I mean, we live in that era, right? Where we just throw out things and with no consequences. As I was talking about in the last hour, right? A little bit. Talking about all of these websites that pop up now, you know? And all the negativity and all this big drive of like we've got this new. Do you have a plan for the next big drop? No, it's really not a plan. Now, if you're taking income, you need a plan. Like if the market drops and goes into a bear market, you can't be selling your stuff down. So we have to have a plan for creating a reservoir of cash. Okay, but what's your plan? Doesn't mean you've got some completely made up BS product that pays a high commission and traps people in it like an equity indexed annuity, pretending that it has stop losses on it. We can stop the losses. Yes, you can, and you can't get any of the gains. Great, groovy. You might as well put it in a bond. At least you have liquidity. Yeah, I've gone through all those before, but it's important to note that these are a symptom of our lack of understanding that volatility is good. It's not just normal. It's good. It's why we make so much money in the market. And we want to learn to embrace that. But I talked about in that first hour, and if you want to talk about that or circle back, let's do so. It's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And I've only got the next 30 minutes or so here, 20 minutes. Before we have our normal recording with Kevin Miller. We reversed it, if you tuned in late today, from the first hour, normally plays at 8 o'clock. It's going to play today at here in about 20 minutes. So give us a call. Now, I wanted to touch on this because I think it's important, and I think we're going to end up talking about this for a long time. Because I believe it takes a long time for us to get used to a new norm. The new norm I'm talking about here is not our president tweeting. That's going to take a while, too. I wish he would do it differently. But one thing I don't want to see him do differently is I don't want to see him not do stuff. Now, here's what I mean. For many years, I would say that the last president that really got in and did anything, you know, said, you know, we've got problems here. We've got high inflation, high unemployment. I need to get this economy going. Is Ronald Reagan. A long time ago. After Reagan, we had the Bushes, we had Clinton, and then we had Obama, who didn't do anything except want to be the cool president and go on late night TV. That's what I want to do. Why? Why do you want to be president if you don't want to take on the problems of the world? You let the Middle East burn. You let Russia walk all over you. You draw arbitrary red lines that people cross and they don't care. There are no consequences. None. All that they did was amp up regulation and slow down the economy. Raise taxes, amp up regulation, slow down the economy. That was their MO. Now we have a president that steps in and says, we got a problem in North Korea. After 30 years of everybody appeasing him, left and right, they finally allowed him to develop a nuclear weapon. And we have a president steps in and says, this is unacceptable. Now I have to do something about it. Okay. Yeah, you're just a Trump supporter. No. Hear me out. This is an important point to all of our financial investing. We have a horrifying tax code that pushes jobs overseas. Unbelievably bad. It makes no sense to anybody, anywhere, and nobody will do anything about it. Bam. We have corporate tax reform and personal tax reform. A huge monumental shift in how we tax. This is in 1 year. We have a president that says no more in places like Syria. Ooh, we shouldn't drop bombs on bad people. It could cause the market to be upset. You see where I'm getting? Oh, we shouldn't upset Russia. That could cause World War III. You're right. So let's just let them walk all over us. They can poison people wherever they want to be. They can pick bad people like Assad and get in bed with them and have no consequences because we don't want to upset the stock market. Isn't this what we hear every day? People are like, oh, I mean, if Kramer had hair, he'd be like, oh, pulling his hair. Oh, my gosh, like he did with Ebola. Nothing good can happen until we get past this Ebola crisis. That marked the bottom. Sometimes things happen, and it's not just volatility is good, normal, all that. Stuff happens. But what we have now, and I think we're going to get used to it, we have to get used to it, is a president that does stuff. He doesn't just talk about it. This is bad behavior. We're changing. This over here, like China, for 30 years, they just steal intellectual property. They steal everything. Everybody knows it. Everybody's complained about it. Every president has done nothing. Now we have a president that says, I'm going to do something about it. Oh, he's trying to start a scheme. We're hypoventilating about something that should have been done and dealt with for decades. What's the matter with us? Our attention span, our ability to handle any volatility in the market, it could be upset us, is zero. So we should not deal with China. We should not deal after 30 years. NAFTA's perfect. Come on. We need to rewrite stuff. Well, and we don't have a wall. Why? We just let illegal people come in? Why? Don't we have laws? I mean, we have a president that's actually doing stuff that he said he would do instead of like, I just want to be the cool president. I got to do late night TV. I don't want everybody to love me. I just want everybody to love me. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to try to solve the problems of the world. I just wanted this job because Air Force One is cool, man. It's cool when the whole room stands up when you walk in. Okay. That's why you want to be president? This president wanted to be president to do stuff. You don't have to agree with everything he does, but we have to change our dynamic and our thought process because this is important to understand. I think really important. If we don't understand that this president is different, then we don't understand that we could get a couple of days of market upset because China doesn't like actually having to trade fairly. Weird. That Russia doesn't like not being able to kill people wherever they want to kill them. There are consequences that we're dealing with this because this all fell at this president's lap. Right or wrong, like him, don't care. We have to understand that hyperventilating has cost an understanding that the fundamentals are faster growth, a brighter future, less jobs moving overseas because of tax reform, because of lower regulations. The list goes on. But a president that's actually doing the hard work. I'm not sure we've had one since Reagan. I don't think we have. That's really different and different to the markets and different the way we seem to focus now, right? Our attention span is zero. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net, and we'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. That's our number. Please do give us a call. This is our final segment, so I'd love to visit with you. You know, there's so many interesting things going on, and there are, within the market, within the world. It's really important, though, to dial it back for better perspective, right? Isn't that what we're really talking about here with volatility being good? Why we get paid so much more? You know, as we look at the volatility or the perceived volatility picking up, I hear these questions a lot. You know, I do. It's kind of like, you know, or comments. Most of the time it's comment, right? Something like, I just think, you know, everybody ought to step aside for a month, a couple months. So I'd probably just leave the market for a couple months, you know, let things calm down. And you have to think about that for a minute. You're kind of like, okay, let's just say that you went, yeah, that makes sense. And it does when it's volatile. It feels like that makes sense. But let's play this out. Think it through. So we leave the market. We say, yeah, it's going back and forth, trading back and forth. You just don't know. It's really going nowhere. Glad I'm not part of that. That's great and groovy. So when do you get back in? Is it like there's a two-month mark? Probably not. When you say 2 months, you're probably not really meaning it's like exactly 2 months, like you circle it on the calendar and bam, you're back in. You're just meaning for a while, right? For just a little while. You're not meaning to be out for a long time. Just a while. So the while looks like what? There's no more trouble in the world? No more predicted things coming? We aren't going to worry about if the Fed has to raise rates too much? Yeah, we will. Because every time, every comment that's made is about what problems there could be. The Chinese stock market. The Chinese buying up all of our currency. Not true, but let's go ahead and go with that one. Buying up all of our bonds, and then they're going to dump them all, and then we're all dead. Okay. Yeah, I remember that one. That's Japan part two, huh? New country. Same inevitable doom and gloom. Oil price is too high. We won't worry about that. We won't worry what's going to happen in Europe. Another Brexit thing. Who knows? Of course we do. We always worry about things. They're always there. And they're in your face on steroids. So the question is, do we back away from that? Can we? It's not putting your head in the sand to say, you know, I don't need to watch 100 times over this weekend the bombs dropping in Syria. Pretty cool, pretty amazing. The firepower, it's astounding. Apparently, the Russians weren't able to swat them out of the air quite as easily as they said. I don't know what's going to happen in the market on Monday. Didn't know that when trading stopped on Friday. In fact, nobody does. Wouldn't surprise me at all that the market rallies because guess what? Another problem. What are we going to do about Syria? Just happened. World War III didn't happen. Weird. They were able to do something about stopping somebody who's the epitome of pure evil and not helpful. You know, it's amazing. And I talked about this and started off this last segment here talking about what's going on with this president. And I think it's important for us to recognize this is different. This is first time in a long time. He's not my favorite communicator for sure. But regardless of his communication technique, he's doing stuff like we haven't seen since Reagan. That, to me, is the bottom line. And when we see this coming week, the earnings numbers, the earnings reports, which are expected to be massively increased. Very much due to tax cuts. Outlook is great. The economy is growing robustly.
Wants to be a part of your day, our great friend Dave Petzl here, the Petzl Center, Petzl Financial, and available on Facebook and Twitter. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. Great to be here.
So, another tough week for your markets.
It was. We were down about 1%. But tech stocks were down even harder. So, yes, another tough week.
What do you attribute, let's start with the tech stocks, if you will. Mm-hmm. Of course, Mark Zuckerberg will be appearing before Congress. We've got Cambridge Analytics. We've got the shocker that, oh, there really is no privacy on the Facebook. What do you attribute the erosion in Amazon, the erosion in Facebook?
Yeah, Kevin, I think the reason they're taking a bigger hit is a number of reasons, right? There's never one. But they've been leading this market. And so when we have a correction, and they occur typically once per year. It's just been 2 years since we've had one. When we have them, usually they take down the leadership, right, which has been the tech stocks. And they can go down a bit more because they've been further ahead. That's number one. Number two, though, which what we've had now is some specific news in tech. I mean, the Facebook fiasco is kind of a big deal, and now it's begging for more regulation. No industry does well with more regulation. So that's the reason why there's now a focus on it. Is it a good idea that Google has all this data? Should we be looking at them next? Do they have a monopoly in advertising online? Is Amazon, is it reasonable that they have all that data and they're listening to conversations? And after all, the president isn't exactly buddies with Bezos. So we've got all kinds of circumstances there. Should we break up Amazon? I think they should, Kevin. We've talked about it before. It's not right to take money from one business that's making a ton of money and then selling below prices or below cost somewhere else in order to drive your competitors out. It's not a reasonable way. It's why we do antitrust things. So I think there's a lot of pressure on these companies, and that's why the focus is there.
But it's really, as you and I have discussed for years here at KIDO Talk Radio, does antitrust legislation really ever exist anymore? I mean, When's the last time the government, outside of the AT&T breakup, which is before the millennial generation was born, has the Sherman Antitrust Act been used?
Really, to break things up, it hasn't, right? But they do, they use aspects of it often. Not allowing companies to merge. I'm sorry, but I'm drawing a blank. There was a big merger that was supposed to happen. I think it was Time Warner and somebody else this year. But the Trump administration said no, and people thought that that was surely going to go through, and it didn't. So that there are aspects that they have they have shown their teeth before, and this certainly during the Obama years, many mergers were not allowed. And when you see banks, for example, merge, this is a classic example. They have to get rid of a lot of different branches, for example. They may have to sell them off to another bank because they do not want to have monopolistic power in one area.
Right. But we have seen, on the other hand, we have seen a lot of mergers in banking and in other parts. Mm-hmm. You have AT&T and DirecTV. You have other of these huge conglomerates, Comcast and NBC. And really, Is the public served in these mergers? I think that's the big question. Or is it just about being a more efficient corporation?
Right.
You know, when does the government jump in?
Right, when they feel that the consumer will be hurt. That's typically the case. And I think, Kevin, when you take, as long as you have a viable competition in an industry, there's no reason to not let companies merge. However, if we get a shrinking number of people in an industry, which is what we hoped for example, for decades with Micron, they finally got to a position where they have a bit of an oligopoly, meaning there's just not very many, you know, three competitors in the world out there to the microchips, and they have a better control, better pricing when you have fewer competitors. So I still think in the long run, mergers do not really help the customer. But as long as there's viable competition, it's okay.
Let's get back to Amazon. Why would Dave Petzl, the captain of capitalism here in the Treasure Valley, take a look at Amazon? I mean, Amazon is ruthlessly efficient.
Yep.
Just like Walmart back in the day. And why break this up? You know, people don't care about going to the store anymore. They just talk to an app.
And I, you know what? And they can do that. And I'm not saying that they should not be able to sell lots of things online. But you're going to do it in a different way when you don't take money from one operation that's making a gob of money. In other words, if they spun that off and said, you know, those billions in profit you have to is in a different business, then you would operate this other business differently. In order to come into a business and then cut, it's temporarily great for consumers because all of a sudden we're buying things at below the cost of production. In order to become addicted to Amazon, and then they can raise prices later. It's not a positive thing in the long run for consumers to drive everybody out of business, and it doesn't really, it really isn't what we have always thought of as fair play, is to sell for below cost.
Dave Petzo with us. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. So let's talk about the trade war. Your thoughts?
Kevin, I still think it's nothing more than appropriate positioning. And this whole idea, I just don't think we have any patience here at all for letting this play out. Every day, as you see manic reactions on Wall Street to everything the Chinese say or everything that comes out in a tweet. It just doesn't make any sense. These things take time to negotiate or renegotiate. After years of walking all over us, China is now, there's a new sheriff here. And the sheriff is saying, we're not going to play this way anymore. Now, they've got to get their back up. They've got to try to position themselves for negotiation. We're going to kill you if you do this. And so all this is playing out, but we have no patience. We decide the market has to go down 500 points, and then, well, we hear rumors it's okay, so it's up 500 points. It's crazy behavior, and it makes no sense. We have lost all of our sense, all of our patience. And it really is, I think this applies to everything in life, Kevin, but when it comes to the financial markets, we see overreaction all the time anymore. We don't have any patience to wait for things to play out. We've decided that there's going to be a trade war if people are doing normal positioning. And I think that's all it is.
Right. But we have the hype. We have the terror. We have people legitimately concerned. You have news people leading off the stories saying, well, your 401k, you have the red, you know, logos and stuff, the numbers are in the red, that sort of thing.
Yep.
I mean, that is big when you lose, again, as, you know, having been tutored by you for so many years here at KIDO Talk Radio, 1% is 1%, but 1% in a week, that is a cause of concern, right?
Sure. Oh, Al, not really, because markets do this all the time. It's not a cause of concern, but it is a time for commentary for it's a news item. It's something for people to talk about.
However, though, I would beg to differ, and this is something being a you know, people call me front runner Kevin. When you're a fan of the New England Patriots, you're a fan of Alabama football, you get so used to winning,
yes,
that you're not used to losing, and then it can be a culture shock. And let's face it, for many investors that have followed the Dave Petzo regime, and even before the Dave Petzo regime, this has been a run where you get used to winning.
You do get used
to
winning.
So that might explain some of the shock.
It can, but at the same time, even during this incredible winning streak, and I like the way you phrased that, I didn't even think about you just being out with all those, the winning teams.
The front runner.
Well, if you jump on the bandwagon late, but that's not you, Kevin. You are actually the leader of the front runners. That's what you are. I just want to join whatever. I'm going to bet on whatever team you like in hockey, okay?
There we go.
I want to know who that is.
Nashville is hot right now. But anyway.
There you go.
But back to your point.
Yeah, since during this whole period of time, we have had multiple corrections, Kevin. People were wanting to jump out of the window at the beginning of 2016. I remember the headlines: the worst start ever for the market in a year, and it was. But you're making stuff up. You know, this is the worst January arbitrary date to arbitrary date ever. That doesn't mean we're heading into a recession, depression, or what have you, but it makes for headlines. And I'll give you another example. 2008, for example, when the market went down 777 points in a day, okay? You saw the headlines read, Dow's worst day ever, okay? Then you turn around, and the next day, it was up 500 points, rounding up, 500 points. And you don't remember the headlines that said, Dow's very third best day ever. No, it's not the way it works. It's when it's negative and depressing, we have headlines. When it's good, we don't. And so that's what happens. And we've had multiple corrections even during this great winning streak. It's kind of, if you want to use your sports analogy, we just bogeyed a hole. That's all. When corrections occur, it's a stretch of a couple of rough holes. It doesn't mean that we don't hang on and win the Masters. It does mean that we've had a couple of bad holes. Patriots do still lose a few games in this amazing run they've had. This is the same thing with the market. Corrections are normal and does not mean the bull market is over.
Let's go to a question from USA Today. Wild stock swings likely won't stop anytime soon here on KIDO Talk Radio.
Yeah, that's going to be the headline every time. And then they do stop swinging the way. But and of course, they don't come back and correct the headline. They don't say stocks stop swinging wildly. It's a great headline. It's something that scares people. You shouldn't get in when stocks are swinging wildly. Apparently, we should never get into the market when it goes on sale. Apparently, we should only buy when things are high. That's crazy. It's the only time we act like this with anything in our life. You would never take a suit of clothes and say, hey, next time, these are wonderful, I want to keep them, and as soon as you mark the prices up, I'll come back and buy them. Nobody would do that. We never would do that. But we do that with stocks all the time. And it's because we always want to have that feeling that we're jumping on at a winning time, when we have to fully understand and appreciate that this requires some patience. It requires time. And that's all it does to win. It's not like you have to manage a company. You don't have to be particularly smart at all. You just have to get on board and stay on board, and you become wealthy. It's really quite simple, but it doesn't make headlines that way.
Finally, Dave Petzo, let's take a look at just the future of folks. And we're always talking about reforms to Social Security and others, but you know, there are many states, whether it's Illinois, whether it's California, whether it's Ohio, you know, these high legacy cost states that are having to deal with government-funded pensions. How do you think there'll be some type of pension reform when these states cannot further to fund these things? I mean, look, if you're a public servant and you've put in your time, or, you know, you worked for the federal government, it's a great run because you get 50 or 60 or 80 or 90% of your salary.
California's got people getting $100,000 a year in pensions. Yeah.
Sometimes that's probably on the low end, too.
Yeah, right.
So you take a look at this and, you know, how are we going to continue to fund this? And what do you say to people that, again, they've done nothing wrong. They've figured out the system. Good for them.
Yep.
So do you ever think there'll be a day of reckoning there? I mean, when people are looking at, you know, teachers' unions and things of that nature, you know, whether or not they're going to be fully funded pensions and such, your thoughts?
Right. Kevin, I first of all, I think public employees, unions should be banned, should have always been banned. I thought they were, but apparently they've just grown. And it's just one of those things that I don't understand. I don't understand how you can band together with and against taxpayers and call that, you know, an arm's length transaction. It's not. It's the people in the politicians that have been elected by these people making the decision for it. So until that happens, I don't see any reform happening. You don't see it in Illinois. You don't see it in California. They are bankrupt and won't deal with the problem. So I don't see this being something that is going to stop short of a complete outright crisis. Although California, it feels like it's getting there, doesn't it, with what's going on with all the deficits they have day to day, all the businesses that are leaving there, right, all the people that are leaving, all the money that's leaving. They're just left with, forgive me, I don't mean to be any kind of offensive here, but the only people that are immigrating into that state are illegal immigrants. I mean, nobody's coming there. They're all leaving, and they're leaving with a big pile of money and businesses. It does not make their future look very good. So I think we're going to have to see crisis there. Illinois seems on the brink of getting their head handed to them. They're tired of not being able to fix anything except pay pay the pensions, and they are falling further into the hole. So I do see this being good, that it's a state-by-state thing. I'm glad Obama was not able to nationalize this. He tried, and which means you and I, after playing, you know, keeping the money in the Percy and all that and paying and keeping it solvent, would have had to pay. So I'm really glad that that's on a state-by-state basis. I think it's going to take a crisis, and I think that's very unfortunate. But Kevin, I don't know how people can, in this day and age, we can reach a budget accord, we can solve Social Security, we can solve Medicare and Medicaid without a crisis. People will not do it. They don't want to have any patience. They want everything done today. I want to get rich right now, and so I want the hot stock tip. I don't want to wait 30 years to get rich.
More coming up with our own Bobby Axelrod. Dave Pezzo joining us. Questions about your money, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. You're listening to Kevin Miller on KIDO Talk Radio. Rolling with Dave Pezzo, Kevin Miller in the morning at KIDO Talk Radio. So, Dave, let's talk a little local. The race for governor heating up. We're almost 30 days away from electing someone in the Republican primary and the Democratic primary. Haven't really talked much about the Democratic side. You've got Paulette Jordan. You've got A.J. Belukov. A.J., once again, using education as his lightning rod, the tip of the spear, touting his education experience at the Boise School Board.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on, again, a very successful businessman, well-liked here in the Treasure Valley?
Yep.
Spent $4 million of his own money to go up against Butch Otter the last time, A.J. Belukov.
You know, I appreciate anybody has that kind of passion to take their own money, regardless of how much money they have, and go do this and go get in the public forum and have people talk about what's wrong with them and how they haven't lived a perfect life and all those things that come in politics. I really appreciate people stepping in. I don't, like you, Kevin, or most people, I should say, I shouldn't throw everybody in that bucket, appreciate a career politician that's always there and always been on the dole and really hasn't been out and seen what kind of impact all of the rules and regulations. But people that step in from the outside, I really, really admire. So let me say that. And then the second part I'll say is I don't think that he's on the right track. I don't think education is the weapon of choice out there. It's something that we spend 70 or 80% of the state budget. They always run a shortfall. There's always problems. Education doesn't get better. And we just sit and scream about it. And, apparently the answer to every problem is that we need more money. Instead of we need better solutions, we need a different solution. Government is the only one I know that comes up with, you know, this is really, really broken, Kevin, so we need to go ahead and put more money to it. Only government would do that because nobody else would do that. We'd say, what do we need to do to fix this or get rid of that thing that isn't working? Instead of just throwing more money at it and having it grow. So I don't think it's really the right tact. I don't think I have heard any message so far that says to a very red state, this is why you need a change from the Republican structure you have to a Democrat. So I don't see why he's on that track.
Let's talk about the Republicans, the big three, Dr. Ahlquist, Lieutenant Governor Little, and Congressman Labrador.
You know, I'm not on the inside, so I really don't know how they're running. And I just have a feeling that the nice, quiet gentleman, Brad Little, is doing stronger than people think.
Yeah, but let's look at Dr. Ahlquist's argument. He's a businessman. He's an outsider. He's done a lot for the city of Boise and throughout the Treasure Valley. I would think not a career politician, which he says he is, it would be right up your alley.
Yeah, it would. Again, Kevin, I don't know that much about it. I don't, you know, and when you're talking about people who are in business, then what are their ethics in business? I haven't heard one way or the other. Are they great business people because they've made money? Are they great business people because they are great leaders in the community and drive not only business forward, but they drive a sense of community forward? I don't know. I don't know that. I really don't know Ahlquist that well. I do know that there are some very good business people that I would feel like, you know, for example, obviously Doug Armstrong over at Channel 7 just retiring. I mean, just the whole idea. He wasn't just successful in running the best TV station. He has a successful leadership role in this community. He succeeded in multiple things. That would be somebody, obviously, coming from the outside. That would I say they are well-rounded
you're
people.
You're endorsing Doug Armstrong?
I would endorse Doug Armstrong in a second.
That sounds like a dodge, Dave Petso.
No. Not a total dodge. And then, but at the same time, you were asking about it from the business side. It would normally be for me, but I don't know enough about somebody who just came out and say, "Hey, you know what? I'm a business guy, so here I am."
So we continue on, though. Some would say there's otter fatigue. What do you think?
There's what?
Otter fatigue.
I think that's probably Brad Little's biggest problem, don't you?
That's the challenge, I think, at 580-5436-580-KIDO, that the governor who lost Ada and Canyon Kootenai counties in the last primary still remains incredibly popular. But this is a Republican primary, closed primary. You've got the reddest of the reds. Heck, they might as well call it the Kevin Miller Show primary, because these are the people that will determine it here in the Treasure Valley. They follow politics more adamantly than people follow sports. But like I said, I have said for years that the governor would come out in the end and campaign for his partner, the lieutenant governor.
Yep.
I don't know if that's going to be a win, considering the legislative season, considering the grocery tax bill. It's a fascinating question. That's why I asked you instead of giving my answer.
Yes. Well, I appreciate the chance to answer, and I'm not on the inside of politics. That's why I said earlier, I have a feeling that Brad Little's doing stronger within the where he needs to, and that is within the party. He's got a well-known brand. He's a gentleman. Everybody likes him. But I think his biggest problem is going to be otter fatigue. Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Kevin. I think it's really good political analysis there.
And Congressman Labrador?
He's very strong in the party. So I do. I see that being his biggest plus. He's a conservative in a conservative state. He has not too much experience. We're not fatigued by him. And he's a young, fresh face. I have to say he's a front runner. But we got a month to go where it's going to get real heated, and I'm looking forward to some debate.
I'm looking forward for the Petso primary.
Right. I'm running as an independent on the outside of that. Right. That'll be successful.
Dave Petso, anything else we should be looking out for?
No, we are starting to get towards earnings season, and I think that's going to quiet the market down. It will be focused more on what corporations are actually doing than what's going on the, if you will, the news feed about trade. So I think it'll help quiet it down. That's a week away, but we're getting close.
Are you worried about the Chinese at all?
I'm always worried about the Chinese, Kevin. You taught me that 8 years ago when I wasn't worried enough. You kept sending me stuff, and I just said, you're right.
Well, now they're declaring trade wars on us.
They are. And I think that this is, as I talked about on Saturday, this is a very important time in our country. This president has inherited a massive amount of problems that no president has dealt with since Reagan, from North Korea to Iran, and now, of course, a trade war and the Russians. He's got a lot going on every front, because presidents before him just appeased all of our enemies. And China's one of them. He is not the first person to come out and say this isn't a good trade deal with China. They steal our intellectual properties. Every single president has complained about it and done nothing about it. And so now we can't, we run around with our hair on fire, like he's trying to start a trade war out of nothing, and instead of actually being the first president since Reagan to do anything while they're in office.
Our great friend Dave Petso, the Petso Center, Petso Financial. Dave, thank you.
Kevin, always a pleasure to be with you, and thank you for your good work. You are an amazing radio host. Thank you.
Well, you're a great American.
Thank you.
You're listening to Kevin Miller on KIDO Talk Radio.